You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
On this episode, I host Mary Beth Taylor. She's a Senior Vice President, Enterprise Controller at Steward Healthcare, based in Dallas, Texas. Mary Beth has extensive experience in healthcare industry and expertise in corporate accounting and systems integration. She holds an MBA from Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. She's a former colleague of mine from Envision Healthcare and a very good friend, and I'm very excited about this episode. Welcome, Mary Beth. Mary Beth, tell us a little bit more about the company you're currently with and your role within the organization.
Sure. So I joined Steward Healthcare the beginning of May of this year, and Steward owns 35 hospitals in 9 states and employs more than 40,000 healthcare professionals. Actually, within the last couple of weeks, there was a change in ownership, and so Steward is now the largest physician-owned and operated healthcare system in the U.S. So in my role here, I joined as Senior Vice President and Enterprise Controller. So I oversee all the accounting functions for Steward, including payroll and accounts payable. So really what I'm working on helping the company do is just, you take a look at the footprint of finance and accounting within the organization. They had some rapid growth, merged with a company in 2017. So just working on being sure that we have the most efficient processes and just kind of integrating those two organizations within the accounting group.
Well, that's exciting. Just for our listeners, Mary Beth and I go back to Envision days where we had worked together on several projects. So when I got the news that you had transitioned over and you're with a new organization, I think, you know, it's a great time to reconnect, and I appreciate you taking the time. From standpoint of, you know, from the executive perspective, when it comes to especially, you know, current times with COVID and all the things going on in the world right now, curious, what practical recommendations can you offer to other executives? I guess something that has worked well for you, or maybe, you know, vice versa, something that you had learned through that experience as you lead enterprise organization during these times. Any practical recommendations or valuable lessons learned through the period so far?
Sure. I think, you know, COVID has really obviously impacted everyone across all industries, even impacted the start date that I was supposed to have at Steward. They needed to defer that as they worked through some of the issues surrounding COVID. So when I joined the organization, there had already been a round of furloughs, which I think is a common theme across many companies, especially in the healthcare space. And so I think one of the things is just really trying to take a look at how can you do things more efficiently. I think it's really kind of increased the timeline and the focus, maybe particularly like in accounting and finance, where you're used to maybe some longer term projects, some, you know, ERP accounting system projects. In today's environment, though, it's really how do we take a look at what we do now and what can we improve on immediately. I think also it's just keeping in mind that people in your organization are impacted not only in their, you know, life at work, but outside of life as well. So just trying to be empathetic to the fact that, you know, people are probably carrying a little bit more into the workplace today than maybe they were a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, your advice resonates well with a lot of other executives, and that empathetic approach at the end of the day, it's, you know, no one could have expected this. No one was really prepared. Right. And it's all of us are dealing with that. So that, you know, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for that insight. Kind of take that a little bit further from standpoint of employee motivation. With so many companies going through, you know, furloughs, downsizing and layoffs, anything that you can share from that executive standpoint that, you know, helps you to, you know, keep your employees motivated, keeping the performance levels up?
Sure. I think really communication is key. And even just communicating to your employees that you might not be able to tell them everything all at once, but that you'll be as transparent as you can be with developments around, the office. And, I think particularly in healthcare, because it's so acquisitive in nature, folks are kind of used to constant change. But I think on top of it, when they're worried about, what does the rest of 2020 look like, just being able to be communicative and really just making them feel as much in the know and as much a part of, decision making as you can. I've met with the teams here at Steward, and part of my conversation is, I'm new to the organization. You all are closer to the transactions. You know today's current pain points. I need to hear from you on, what's difficult today, and how can we work together to try to make it a more efficient process, to communicate better within our own department, to communicate and collaborate with other departments internally, just to try to ease some of that burden.
Yeah, absolutely. And, some of the strategies definitely work for some for others. And again, it's very interesting times. And a lot of people is like, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs right now, a lot of people in that, not really survival mode, but it's, you at the lowest level of the hierarchy, almost taking care of the right. Basic necessities, the basic needs. And when it comes to employee motivation, it's, I think, it's a very, very relevant and important subject, especially these days. Mm-hmm. From kind of your accounting and finance expertise, just curious, what trends do you foresee will come out, as a result of current times? Obviously, these are difficult times, but also there's a lot of opportunity for improvement. Just curious to get your opinion on that.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. There are a lot of opportunities for improvement. I think one thing that comes to mind is, I think in a lot of organizations historically, maybe they've budgeted only one time per year. And I think everybody kind of knows their budget at this point for 2020 is just kind of blown up. So I could see a lot of organizations going more towards a zero-based budget approach. And if they haven't done, forecasts throughout the year, that they may be starting to do that, just to really look at on a quarterly basis or even an ongoing basis, how are results really trending towards the budget. And then as far as, kind of leaning towards on the staffing side, I think just in accounting, really continuing to partner with operations and being able to be analytical and more data driven, being able to kind of slice and dice data and provide information more real time to operators who are trying to make decisions.
Right. Absolutely. Very interesting. Definitely very interesting trends that, you're mentioning. And on top of that, innovation in general is just a very interesting subject for myself. And especially during these times, curious to get your opinion on, from innovation standpoint, what strategies or methodologies do you deploy that consistently help you come up with innovative ways to solve certain problems for your products or services that, fall under within your division of the organization?
Sure. I think back, John, to the times that we worked together, and I think just really being collaborative with other departments really helps with that innovation. I think that, there are different things that we can all do to help each other. And sometimes, particularly in organizations that grow so quickly through mergers and acquisitions, sometimes people end up working in a silo and they may not even know that another department has information that they need or can tweak a process to really make their life, easier. So I think that collaboration is really key, and just being open and communicating with other departments within the organization, just thinking about how do we do what we do today better tomorrow.
Absolutely. The collaboration aspect is oftentimes overlooked, yet it's so powerful. I just want to give some example that during my studies at Harvard, one of the professors, Stephen Tomke, he's one of the authors of the series of books on experimentation. And he talks a lot about, you know, how that drives innovation within companies and building that culture of innovation through experimentation. And a huge aspect of that is the collaborations, you know, point of the teams collaborating, teams working together. Doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, very successful collaboration, but at the end of the day, if teams are collaborating, that may lead to, you know, a lot of different ideas that get generated. So definitely agree with what you're talking about. To shift topics a little bit, when from talent acquisition and hiring standpoint, for your groups within your division, for the candidates that interview with you, just tell us a little bit more about that experience. Do you get creative with your interviews? Do you keep them pretty traditional? What do you look for in some of the responses when you interview your candidates?
Sure. I feel like I get as creative as I can under, you know, HR guidelines. But yeah, definitely. I think a big part of when I'm interviewing individuals is, you know, if they have an accounting background, they have the underlying technical skills, they have the knowledge, even if they've not worked in healthcare before, or they've not worked in with the IT systems we have. Those are all things that you can teach an individual. So a lot of what I'm looking for when I'm interviewing candidates is, you know, do they have critical thinking skills? You know, can they give examples of things that they have done in the past? You know, how will they fit within the corporate culture? I just feel like corporate culture is such an important part of an organization and someone's happiness kind of within that organization. You know, I think back to Envision days, that's really one of the reasons that I stayed for so long was due to the corporate culture. And when I interviewed at Steward, I spent a lot of time talking to people at Steward about the corporate culture here. I feel like you're, you know, at work probably as much, if not more, than you are at home. So I think that's hugely important aspect of an interview, is just letting somebody see what the environment is like, what you're like as a leader, and making sure that they kind of fit within that as well.
Right. Absolutely. And if you can, to the extent that you can share, I'm curious, as a, you know, as an executive, what was your interview experience like when you were interviewing for your current position? If you could share some more insight through that process, that would be interesting.
Sure. So I met with several individuals at the senior leadership and in the C-suite level, and just, again, spent a lot of time talking about not only the history of Steward and when Steward and IASIS came together, but also, again, just spent a lot of time talking about the corporate culture and what is the vision, you know, from the top in the C-suite, and how do they make sure that kind of permeates throughout the organization. So that was kind of a lot of the conversation. And then just a lot of the experiences that I had been fortunate to have throughout my career at Envision. I feel like I was given a lot of opportunities to be involved in a lot of projects, and, you know, the acquisition of Sheridan, the merger with Envision. I just feel like all of those experiences and projects really kind of helped to really help me grow a lot in a short amount of time, and really be a lot more comfortable with ambiguity. And I think in today's environment, particularly, being able to kind of stay calm and navigate through uncomfortable times or uncertain times, it is definitely something that's good to have.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. And because at the end of the day, it's a two-way interview. It's also your opportunity to, you know, interview the organization and see if that's a right fit for you, as well as much, you know, them interviewing you. So that's great to hear. What are the most in-demand skill sets and those that are the hardest to find in your particular functional area or industry in general? And what strategies do you deploy to attract that top talent to your teams?
I think within the accounting organization, one of the most important skill sets is really that analytical and critical thinking mindset. So, you know, not just, you know, being a bookkeeper or watching a transaction come across your desk, but thinking more globally and how does that fit into the big picture? What, you know, downstream impacts are they, are there? How can we take information to help others in the organization become, you know, better decision makers? So I think that analytical mindset is something that is so important and can sometimes be a little bit difficult to seek out, particularly if you're hiring more towards the entry level or the beginning of someone's career path. So I've had some success in the past, really kind of looking for candidates that have, you know, a little bit of public accounting experience combined with some industry experience. So, you know, I really feel like those critical thinking skills come into play on the public accounting side, and then just actually having performed the transactions, recorded items to the ledger, kind of seeing how all the pieces fit together kind of comes from that industry standpoint. So a combination of the two, I think, has been really helpful, and especially in some of the bigger transitions, you know, moving something from one geographical location to another, you really need that analytical mindset to kind of make that transition successful. And then I think more in the managerial kind of leadership arena is, you know, I kind of touched on it before, kind of being comfortable with ambiguity, being comfortable with change, working with other departments to understand, you know, what are the must-haves in a project or a situation? What are the, you know, it's nice to have sorts of things, and being able to work on those items. So really being the type of individual that kind of honestly enjoys, give me a mess and let me see how I can, you know, be a part of a solution that hopefully ends up being a win-win for everyone involved. But somebody that really gets excitement out of improving a process and seeing how that makes everyone's life a little bit easier and more efficient.
Right. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that insight. It's very interesting because, you know, on the Ivy podcast, we don't get that many, you know, from accounting or even finance perspective. And, you know, those are definitely interesting topics that, that I like to discuss. So appreciate that insight. Good portion of our listeners is, you know, either recent graduates or current MBA students, mostly in Ivy League. And female leadership is one of the, you know, very, very hot topics, very, very important topics. And a lot of the questions that we get on the Ivy podcast is, you know, any particular advice or recommendation from that female leadership standpoint? You being, you know, a female executive for a very large corporation, just wanted to get your, you know, kind of advice or, you know, any particular recommendation that has worked well for you as you were growing through the ranks, for any aspiring female leaders.
Sure. I think first of all, is probably finding a couple of, you know, women in business that you admire or, and not even necessarily having a mentorship relationship with them, although that is hugely beneficial, but just really kind of seeing what are those characteristics that you admire about those female leaders and working to emulate those. I think that, you know, within my career, although I was at Envision for 16 years, because we had two large transactions so close together and I got to be involved in a lot of projects that came out of that, I almost got to be a consultant for my own company, so to say. So spending a lot of time meeting new people, understanding what pain points they had, thinking about how can we collaborate and work together. So again, kind of coming back to, you know, being open to collaboration has really helped me a lot in my career. I think, you know, just being able to listen to people and hear what they're saying. You might not be able to fix it. You might even need to say, we're going to go in a different direction. But I think being approachable enough for people to feel comfortable to say, you know, here's an issue that I'm having. What do you think we should do? I think has helped me a lot in my career.
That's a great advice. Absolutely. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. And Mary Beth, last but not least, what is one book that you always recommend to others and why?
Sure. So when I was working on my MBA at Vanderbilt, one of our professors, Richard Daft, he wrote a book called The Executive and the Elephant. And it's really touches on some areas that can help you to be a more intentional leader, just to be more, have a little bit more self-awareness and really think about how your interactions impact your leadership style and impact the way that others want to work with or follow you. And, you know, one of the things in that book that kind of has stuck with me is that sometimes people just need to empty their cup, like before they can really move forward, you know, get on board with an initiative or listen to what you have to say as far as guidance or an opinion. They really just need to be able to say what's on their mind. So, you know, that's something that I try to be intentional about is as we're working in uncertain times in organizations that are growing through mergers and acquisitions, when you've got different, you know, corporate cultures from companies that are coming together that are trying to, you know, recalibrate, is just letting people empty their cup and kind of tell you what it is that, you know, maybe weighing on them on that particular day, so that then they feel like, you know, they can move forward and you know, work with you together on resolving issues. So I think there's a lot of practical application in that book. Just is one that I think about coming back to.
Great. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And for our listeners, we'll make the title and the author of the book available in the episode notes. Mary Beth, I want to thank you for your time. It was so great to reconnect with you. Congratulations on the new role. Best of luck to you. Definitely want to stay in touch. And thank you for your time today and all the valuable insights.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.